Today, though, I know God has a plan. He's kind of funny when he does stuff, because I was working on my sermon, and I was like, man, it's just one of those not very long sermons, you know. And then I look outside, and here it is snowing, and the weather's going to get horrible today. So, just so you know, we'll get out early today, so we'll be okay with that. But let's talk about what we're going to talk about today: worrying, trust, the trust in God. So, why do we worry, or why do we not trust God? And why do we feel like we need to be in control? So we're going to read in two sets of scriptures. Here in a minute, we'll be reading in Luke and in Matthew. But I was thinking about this when I was trying to come up with an idea of a sermon the other day. It was last week. I'm funny because I kind of get all these ideas and then I have to narrow them down. And I was out last weekend looking for king crab, right? It was this 2 day opening or 3 day opening or something like that. And my nephew and I are sitting out at Auk Rec, and we had crab rings out, and it was snowing a little bit, cold. We had a fire going in one of the shelters. So you know, if you guys have never ringed, you put them out and let them sit for a little while, and you go pull them up and see if there's anything in them, and you drop them back down. So you know, we would let them sit for about an hour, and so I'm sitting there with my nephew and kind of just watching the water. It was a gorgeous day. It's cold. And I saw that I kept seeing this one little Tweety bird. And I don't even know what kind of bird he was. He's only about this big. And he was flying around like crazy. And it started me thinking about the birds God gives to the birds. You know, that that's, and we're going to talk about those passages. But it started me thinking about that, like, wow, if he's going to protect this little bird in this cold weather, I mean, this was when it was 15. Well, this little bird went through this horrible, you know, 10 below, whatever we had, nine. I had 8 below at my house, I think. So he went through this horrible weather and he's out here and just looking at him, watching him. I watch him forever. He looks happy. Know, I mean, as happy as you can be out in the cold flying around looking for food. And I started thinking about, like, man, if that little bird doesn't have to worry about anything, why are we worried about everything? And I just started thinking about that, going, man, that's going to be where I go right into the. And that's in Matthew. We're going to talk about Matthew 6 today. Just talk about that. And then I started thinking about it later. I'm thinking the total opposite of this. A little bird is a squirrel, right? Everybody watch a squirrel all year long. Even right now, they're out there finding nuts and stuff and piling them. They never eat them, though. It doesn't ever look like. I mean, they got thousands of nuts. They just work themselves, store up, right? They store up for winter is what I always thought they were doing. But you go down in the summer and there's all the nuts are still laying on the ground. They just never do. They just work, work, work. And it just kind of reminded me of us. Like, we work, 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 and store up, but do we ever use what we store up? So that's what we're going to talk about today. So we'll be reading in Luke 12 and Matthew 6 here in a minute. But let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for today. I do thank you for this beautiful weather that you give us, Lord. I ask that you would just bless us as we go through today, Lord. Bless the words that come through me, Lord, that they're just your words, Lord, and that we could just, everybody here that's hear what they need to hear today, Lord, hear what you brought them here for. Lord, I just thank you for that. I thank you for the families that are represented here, Lord, and those that are not here. We just ask that you would protect them and get them back on track in health. And Lord, for just especially for Brother Yuming as he's down south doing what he's having to do, Lord, that you would just guide him and get him home safely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to read in Luke 12. We're going to start in Luke. It's kind of interesting. I'm going to reverse a little bit. We're going to start in Luke 12, though. Luke 12, verses 22 through 34. And this is on page 990 if you have a Pew Bible. Luke 12. So it says, don't be anxious. And he said to his disciples, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? And then you are not, if then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, Why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass, which is alive in the fields today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, for much more will he clothe you. For how much more will he clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with treasures in the heavens that do not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where the treasure is, there will your heart also be. That was Luke 12, 22 through 34. Now we're going to read in Matthew. I thought it was interesting when I started reading this. So we're actually talking about the Sermon on the Mount, right? Matthew 5 through 7 is based on the Sermon on the, or that's where it's at. But in Matthew 6, verse 25, which is on page 916 of your Pew Bible, verse 25 through 34, which is almost the same amount of scriptures, listen to what it says. Don't be anxious. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of your life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin. And I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass in the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall I eat, or what shall I drink, or what shall I wear? For the Gentiles seek all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. It was interesting to me that they were so similar, right? And I was thinking about this when I was reading through both these, how important it is when something's in the Bible, right? One time. How much more important is it when it's almost word for word, twice, two different men writing this? So in the Bible, do not be afraid, or a variation of that, 350 times, roughly. What does that tell us? Not to be afraid. So it says in here on Matthew, on verse 25, 31, and 34, it says, do not worry. What is worry? So you guys know I love my dictionary. So I went to the dictionary to look at worry. You feel uneasy or concerned about something, be troubled. To pull or tear at something with or as if with the teeth. So why do we worry? Do we worry? I worry. I just talked to you about dropping my son off in Anchorage. But Brian and I got back. We went up Tuesday, dropped him off on Wednesday, came back on Thursday. And I was worried about him the entire time. I felt horrible dropping him off. And we were sitting at breakfast the morning that he was going. And I said, we just got done with breakfast. We were back in our hotel room. We had about 2.5 hours total. And I said, Garrett, you want to go do something? You want to go? Bass Pro or Sportsman or something, just walk around, go to the mall. And he just looks right at me and says, "Dad, let's just get it over with." Okay. And so, 11:30 or 12 o'clock, which we still had some time, he was done. He had talked to his grandparents on the phone. He had FaceTimed them. He had talked to his brothers and sisters a bit. He was just done. He wasn't worried about it. And it really showed me where he's going. I was worried about it. I dropped him off. I cried like a baby. Saw him get on this little red bus with three other kids and a driver and drive off. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm not going to see him for several months. And I just, my family was texting me, "Are you doing okay?" "No, I'm not. Leave me alone. And I'm worried about him. I'm worried he's going to be, something's going to happen to him." And I worried that whole day and the whole rest of the day. The next day I was doing okay, but I didn't sleep well that night. I was worrying about him, and it was bugging me. And then I'm going back to hear what I'm trying to preach on it. Worry, why can't we trust God, have him under control? And so I'm okay now. I know he's okay. I've seen pictures of him. Shaved head. Everybody's got a shaved head up there. I mean, it was boot camp, but I've seen pictures of him. I know he's okay, and I know God has a plan for him. And that's where I really have to get myself into the worry category is. Not going to change anything. I see it all the time. My wife and I, she's downstairs, but she worries about stuff. And we talk about it a lot. Why are we worried about it? Is it going to change anything? No. Is it not going to prevent anything? So there's some things that I was thinking about when it comes to worry. It hasn't helped anything. It didn't make me feel better. But Christ says worry will not make you live longer. In fact, it might help you die early. So somebody just say, So I know Dr. Charles Mayo. You ever heard of him? Charles Mayo, founder of the Mayo Clinic. So Dr. Charles Mayo says you can worry yourself to death, but not to life. Worry affects the circulatory system, the heart, the glands, and the whole nervous system. I have never met a man or known a man to die of overwork, but I have known a lot who died of worry. So that was pretty interesting to me that a doctor actually can tell you, and we try to trust our doctors, right? I worried about my wife when we were in Mexico and she had to get this heart. Pacemaker put in, right? I got to Anchorage the other day and she had an appointment on Thursday, no, Wednesday, the day we dropped him off. She had an appointment to get her heart checked because they can't check it here, right? And so they had to put these little machine on it and it reads all through her skin and everything. It's pretty cool. And hers is from Mexico, right? So they can't use the normal thing. So the guy jokes, "I had to bring out the 1995 Mac, right?" And he did. He brought some really old thing out to lay it on her chest and read it. But he tells her, nobody knows this, so she'd be. Tells her this thing's working 90% of the time. There goes the worry, right? What do you mean 90% of the time, Dot? 90% of the time, her heart's beating. It's actually beating for her. It's actually helping her heart. That's a lot. Like I'm thinking it was supposed to be working 10% of the time. This thing's working 90% of the time. He says, if you ever thought it was whether it was the right decision or not to get it, it was the right decision. Wow. So a little less worry. Got 13 years of lifespan on that thing. So he's like, "You're great." He was super nice. But he relieved my worry, right? He relieved it in that. He says, "The thing's running great. I have no issues with it. We'll read it every 6 months. She's got a little thing at home now that can read it." Just don't worry about it. It's okay. This thing's working. But when somebody tells you that your wife's heart's beating 90% of the time based on a machine, it kind of makes you worry. So, how can we overcome worry and fear? So, do not be afraid. Some variations are mentioned, like I said, 350 times in the Bible. God said it to Gideon when calling him to lead Israel. God said it to Jeremiah when calling him to be a prophet to the nations. Christ said it to the woman at the resurrection. Philippians 4:6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything." When Adam sinned in the garden, a new word entered his vocabulary. He said, "I was afraid." Now, man continually lives in fear. Fear of failure, fear of success, fear of death, fear of becoming the norm, because there was an absence of love. John said, perfect love drives out fear. People's relationships with God and others are fractured. Therefore, people are constantly plagued by fear, which often inhabits their ability to love and receive from love. So in this passage, it's taught us that worry is unproductive, sorry. Worry keeps us from filling the purpose to which he has called us. God uses all situations to accomplish his purpose. He wants us to trust him and join him in that. You guys ever had a child that you worried about? We've all had that, right? We all have children. I had a teenage daughter that I worried about drastically. Did me no good at all. It gave me lots of sleepless nights. But I just think about how blessed I am now and what it did for me. Well, the worry never did nothing for me. The fear never did nothing for me. But I have, I prayed a lot through that time. And I get to see her and her husband and my three glorious grandbabies that are downstairs right now. That actually gave Mr. Nathan some instructions this morning, I heard, about fixing some toys because they didn't work right. So, no need to worry because it doesn't help. Jesus addresses very explicitly in verse 27. He says, can any of you add one moment to your lifespan by worrying? This is pretty much a rhetorical question because the answer is no. You cannot add a single moment to your life by worrying. Worry cannot add a single minute to your life. Worry cannot add a single dollar to your bank account. Point to your GPA, impress your boss, help your kids behave better, increase your worry cannot increase your church attendance or help you in your preaching. Worry cannot strengthen your marriage, cannot help any of us. Worry does not help. However, did you know that worrying can be negative? Yeah, negative effects in your life. Worry can damage your health. It can damage your health, damage your relationships. It's funny because I stand back here, I can read my papers if I don't put my glasses on. It can rob your joy, rob your opportunities. It can affect others. So one might say, well, if I don't worry, I don't get my important stuff done. Well, let's point out a different thing here. There is genuine place for concern. Concern and worry are not the same thing. Concern acknowledges that something needs careful thought. Worry is given to consuming trepidation. Concern gives way to planning. Worry gives way to fear. Concern leads to healthy attendance. Worry leads to unhealthy anxiety. So Life Application Study Bible adds this. Concern moves you to action. Worry immobilizes you. Planning for tomorrow is time well spent. Worrying about tomorrow is time wasted. So no need to worry because God knows what you need. God tells us he knows what we need. Jesus gives you two primary examples from nature to prove this point. First, he gives you the example of the birds. So just like the little bird that I watched, right? Flying around. I mean, he wasn't very big. He probably doesn't need much to eat, right? But he was there and he was working to get his food. But he was this big. He wasn't this big, right? The same thing happens with the ravens and the seagulls and the ducks. I have ducks all outside my house all the time. And they're eating. And it's this morning, and there were probably 50 of them sitting out in the river, and they were all eating. They looked healthy, right? Yeah, they don't worry about what's going on. Now, the squirrel, I'm not so sure about him, but they don't worry about it. They just go about their daily life and get their stuff done. We worry. Look at verse 26. Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worthy more than they? I think it's very little expression needed for this point. Jesus is a masterful teacher, so we understand what he's saying. The birds and other animals, for that matter, have plenty of food to eat. You rarely have ever seen a wild animal starve to death. God naturally created order to provide, I'm sorry, God's naturally created order has provisions built in for feeding his creatures. God provides for his creations. So how much more does God provide for the pinnacle of his creation, which is human beings? Aren't you worthy? Jesus asked, aren't you worthy more than they? The emphasis answer is yes, we are worthy more than they all the rest of creation. God knows that we need more than we know. Our culture may be losing its value of human life, which is interesting that this was here and we had this thing today. I didn't know that was coming up today. But rest assured that God has not lost his value for human life. We are a prize. We are his people and we are his favorite in all of the universe. Breaks my heart when I see videos like we saw this morning. So Jesus then gives a second example in verse 28 through 30. And why do you worry about clothes? Observe how the wild flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass in the field, which is here today and thrown in the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you, ye of little faith? So some of the Bible say lilies of the field. It's probably referred to more of a generic flower that may not have been specific lilies, probably just a generic flower they were talking about. But Jesus does point out here not to be anxious, or not points here is not exactly which flowers adorn, but that God adorns the flowers of the field, all of them. You guys ever seen a tumbleweed up here? No, I was just in New Mexico with Garrett, and there's tumbleweeds everywhere, right? Texas, West Texas have them. Of course, my son, he's like the knowledge guru of any fish or plant, and he informs me. And they're everywhere down south. I don't know if you guys have been in the south, but tumbleweeds are like horrific. And I remember when I was a kid, my aunt would get them at her house, and we'd have them piled up, and as tall as the ceiling here, just big piles of them, and she'd burn them. And, but he tells me, Dad, you know that those are not, what do you always says? Invasive. Those are an invasive species. Really? Tumbleweed? Yeah, they were brought over on one of the ships from England or something, I guess. I don't know, somewhere Africa or somewhere. So I get this whole road trip when we're going from Arizona to New Mexico about how invasive tumbleweeds are, right? But you don't see them up here. Why? Why don't we see tumbleweeds up here? Because they don't thrive here. God didn't plan for them to be here. Why don't we see snakes up here? Because God didn't want them. Thank God he didn't want them here, right? He didn't want them here. He wanted them down south, right? We deal with creatures that are big. We can see them. But God put the creatures on the planet where they needed to be. Same as you and me. Again, this translates very easily for us. If God can clothe the flowers of the field, the lesser part of creation, he will, won't he also clothe human beings, the greatest part of creation? My wife has this heart for homeless people. And I think about this when I'm the homeless, when I'm talking about this. Does he provide for the homeless? I think so. He may not provide what they feel they need, but he does provide. We were in Anchorage and it was cold and there was homeless people pretty much everywhere up there. And we were talking about how many die, how many pass on the streets because they're homeless and nothing to eat. But then you walk by and they're homeless and they're smoking dope or drinking. And it's like, is that really what God provided for them? Is that what they chose? Right? And so I always think about what God really provides for us. He provides us a beautiful building to worship in. He provided us a book that we can readily access right now, right? Some countries can't, that we can read scriptures out of, read the word out of. He provides us clothes. He provides us a way to make money. And this is, nobody ever said that God doesn't want you to have a life, right? He provides all that for us. So I just feel, you can feel totally blessed on that. He provided me an amazing family. So do we trust God in this matter? Do you trust that you are important to God, more important than the rest of creation? What about, do you trust that God can provide for you? You know, trust that God knows what's best for you? Amen. He is our creator. For those things, and for those things, he has given us ourselves to him. He is our Father. We noticed back when we were talking about the birds, and it says the Father of heaven. What does it say? Hang on a second. Your heavenly Father feeds them. It didn't say the bird's father. And it said your heavenly Father. They are a creation of him. We are created like him. They are not. It was our heavenly Father. Everything that we need comes from him. James tells us in the book of James that every good and perfect thing comes from him. Food, clothing, money, family, faith, love, grace, forgiveness. It all comes from Creator. If you have faith, you have forgiveness, you have a family, it's provided by God. Children, you know, I heard a long time ago, I think Miss Pat actually said it, that the children are a gift from God, but they belong to him, and he allows us to raise them. And I was like, wow, that's really weird, because that's my son sitting there and my daughter sitting there. But then you go to think about it, well, no, it's not. It's God's children, and it's a blessing to be able to raise them. So towards the end of verse 30, he even challenges our faith. He says, oh, ye of little faith. He's saying that our worry related to earthly necessities comes as a result of a lack of faith in our Heavenly Father, which is true. If the focus of our life is on only the things of life, we have a faith problem. If we're concerned about food and our finances and our fashions, but Jesus, we are concerned about that, but Jesus is concerned about our faith because our focus is messed up if we're concerned about that. Well, where should our focus be? Look at 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. This takes us to our final point. There's no need to worry, because what we really need is God. I can tell you from my life before, and don't let anybody tell you that they didn't know God. They knew who he was before I allowed God to into my heart. I knew who he was. I didn't want to deal with it. I didn't want to have to not do the fun stuff that I thought I was doing, right? Before that, my life was a mess. I can't even tell you all of the blessings that I have been given. I have 5 healthy children, 4 healthy grandbabies, a healthy wife. I'm very healthy. My parents are still healthy. Her parents are still healthy to a point. I mean, they're getting older, so they're going to have issues, right? We all are. I'm getting older. I'm going to have issues. But it's been a blessing, right? And that was after, I didn't see this until after I found God. Before, I knew he was there. But after he was, I knew where he was and what he was doing in my life. When there is something in our lives that takes precedence over lesser things, that usually causes us not to be concerned. If your car is broken, you got a broken radio and a broken transmission. One of them is obviously more important than the other one, right? We need to get our transmission fixed. But how many of us will worry about the radio in the process? Right, Harold? Yeah. Right. It's important, right? My radio in my truck doesn't work right now, actually, and it drives me crazy. Like, you know, and it just feels like you have to have them. And when we all have a phone, I just turn my phone on and listen to whatever I'm supposed to listen to. But it's like, we have to have this. It's so important, right? I have to have a brand new pair of shoes or whatever it is. What about when you go to a steakhouse and you eat too much bread? It's important we get that bread in, right? We were at Olive Garden the other night with Garrett. That was where he wanted to eat. Almost want to call it his last meal, right? But that's where he requested that night. Olive Garden. And that kid ate, I don't know how many breadsticks, right? I'm like, and I couldn't finish my dinner because I was stuffing down breadsticks, right? Because they're so good. And But you need to save room for that steak, right? And it's the same thing with what we're doing in life, right? We can eat all the breadsticks we want. We can read all the books we want, but you need to save room for the steak, which is here, the Bible. We need to save room to be able to absorb some of that. Really, Jesus started this passage off with a thought. Look at verse 25. He says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing?" So he's telling us there's more to life than food and clothing, right? Or any other physical necessity. He didn't say they didn't matter. He didn't say not to concern yourself with making sure that you can feed your children. He didn't say don't work for these things. He is saying that life is more than these things. It's more than the clothes that you're wearing. It's more than having the fanciest shirt. It's more than being able to go buy a brand new whatever. Adults, cars, home, children, video game, whatever you want to pay, put it in there. There is something greater than these things. There is something else that should be consuming our focus. Then he tells us what it is. He is greater. Seek first the kingdom of God. When we do seek God in his ways first or foremost, the other things will all work themselves out, right? How many of us have, and we've all probably been there, I tell my wife every time. So, guys know that we went south along a year ago now. We bought a truck and trailer and we were kind of driving around, kind of like the Youngs did years ago. And we're driving around this, it kind of is, that's what me and Garrett did. We went and moved our truck and trailer. And so every time I go down there, it's this new truck, right? It's like a 2020. And I love it. And I keep telling my wife, I need a new truck. And she's looking at me like the needs and wants need to be figured out, right? But I love that truck, right? Okay. So we're in Anchorage the other day, and I tell her, well, that truck had a heated steering wheel, which I found out when I was down there last time, which if you guys have never experienced that is amazing, right? It's the most amazing thing in a vehicle. Well, the one we rented in Anchorage had a heating steering wheel. And she didn't know, and I hit the button, and she's like, "Oh, this thing's getting warm." I'm like, "Yeah, your hands aren't cold, right? It's 2 degrees outside, and your hands are nice and warm." She's like, "My next truck needs to have a heated steering wheel." I'm like, "We got all day. You want to go truck shopping?" But it was a nest. It's not a need, right? It's just a humanly want. The need is to make sure that Garrett was safely there. The need is to make sure we pray for Garrett, right? And that was the focus of our trip. The need is not a new truck. It's a want. When do we seek God and his ways first and foremost? Or when we do, these are the things we'll work out. He says, all these things will be provided for you. Get your priorities straight, and everything else will fall into place. But we need recalibrate and refocus our lives on what's most important. I think we all probably need this in some way or the other. Some of us in different ways. Some of us could be just reading our Bibles more. Some of it could be watching our mouths. Apologizing to people, focus on what's most important. Verse 31 and 32. So don't worry saying, "What will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear?" For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you do not need them, or that you need them. Remember in this context who the Gentiles were. Gentiles means non-Jewish or godless people. Jesus said that the godless people put their priorities on these things, but we shouldn't. Godless people should be focused should godless people should be focused on earthly things because that's all they know as their prize. That's what they seek. You ever heard Keeping Up with the Joneses, right? Miss Jones or Mr. Jones got a boat, so now I need a boat. Bigger though. It's got to be 1 foot bigger than Mr. Jones, right? That's Gentiles. That's godless people. And it's okay to have a boat. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that. It's not okay to do it in certain. It's not okay to have it to be ahead of somebody. It's not okay to have it to make sure that you're on the same pace as somebody else, right? There's no wrong, nothing wrong with a boat. There's nothing wrong with a nice house. Nothing wrong with a nice truck. But I do tell you that before you go buy that, you should be praying about it. Know that charity is greater than, they don't know that charity is greater than clothing. They don't know that grace is greater than gain. Love is greater than luxury. They don't know that blessings of God and God Himself far outweigh the needs of this world. They are focused on these things. They are focused on these things. Followers of God should be focused on God. God knows what we need. Seek Him first and foremost. So, should we be concerned with the things of this world? Yes. Not of this world. Don't be. We need to plan and work and take care of ourselves and our families. We all need to have good jobs. We all need to be able to feed our families. Should we be worried about the things of this world? No. We should seek God and His ways, and the rest will work. So we need to focus on God more. That takes us to our bottom line. Do not worry. Seek the Lord of glory. So Jesus tells us three times in this passage, which I already read, do not worry or be anxious. Do you think this is important to him? If he tells us three times in the same passage, and it was in verses, I think 25, 31, and 34. Yep, 25, 31, 34. He says, do not be anxious. I think it's important to him when he tells us that. I think it's important that we go through life less worried. We can be concerned, but worried has no place. Put your trust in God, and the rest will work it out. Seek Him, and He'll take care of you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do again thank you for today. We thank you for these scriptures that we get to read through, Lord, and just learn, Lord, as we discuss them. I thank you for just giving us the blessings of being here in this warm building, Lord, with our church family, Lord. I do thank you for feeding the little birds, Lord, and just giving us the guidance that we need to seek you for what we need to seek you for, Lord. I ask you all this in Jesus' name. Amen.